Hallelujah. Did you come back for a second helping? Well, good. Let's go back to the same verses then. Go back to Luke. Really, I always say Luke 4, but it's really Luke 3 where we're going. If you mark Luke, that comes before John. Hang on. When the Lord gave us instructions for having the Bible study in our home, you know, He can talk with you real lofty with these and thous and hithertos, you know. He can also talk to you real plain. And one of the instructions I got for doing that Bible study, he says, I want you to make it so simple. I want you to teach it with the thought they couldn't find the book of Mark with both hands. Now, that's the way I heard it. So we tried to teach it on that level, and people seemed to get helped, you know. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give people a moment to get settled here. So let's look at the baptism of Jesus again now. When I say baptism, I'm talking about where the day he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So that's Luke 3, starting in verse 21. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And we could go on from there. But it's important that you realize he was 30 years old. Now, Jesus, when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, we went to 1 John today. That he was conceived in the womb of Mary at his first birth with the same life that we receive at our second birth. Remember what he told Nicodemus? In order to see or enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Another place he says you must be born from above. Another place he says you must be born of the Spirit. You have to be born of God's Spirit. Okay? Now, the reason that I think he's having us look at this right now, this is one of those rare places in Scripture where you see all three members of the Godhead at the same time. They're all represented in this one passage right here. So you've got the man, the human, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus, like Dave taught us. He's got his own spirit. There's a spirit on the inside of him. Okay, that spirit, his spirit was not descended from Adam. His spirit was birthed by the Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee in the power of the highest. I may be quoting it not exactly right, but anyway, that holy thing conceived in thee will be by the Holy Ghost. You got that? So his life was the life of God, but he's a man with a human spirit, just like you're a human. With a human spirit. You know, in the very beginning when it said Christ in you, I was kind of like Dave would say, now, is there a little Jesus running around on the inside of me? You know, what does that mean, Christ in me? You know, is he himself running around in there somehow? No. That same life that was conceived in him when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, Jesus is called the seed. I want you to know he is the seed that God sowed to produce a crop of life humans that did not exist before. Now, that's a verse that I was looking at right before I come in. Hold your place there, and let's go to Hebrews just for a moment. God is trying to raise us up to understand who we really are in Christ. Okay, let's see now. Yep. All right. Man, it's so good. I keep wanting to back up, but we have to go back to chapter 1, verse 1. Go to chapter 2. No, go to chapter 2. Let's start in verse 9. It'll be good enough. I just can't hardly give you a verse anymore without the context. Now, okay, one more. Okay, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But notice, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Now, if you underline, in bringing many, what's that next word? Many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, we could go on. There's so much revelation there. God did not come just to forgive sinners. Let me say it this way. Jesus didn't pay the price that he paid just to forgive sinners and leave them as sinners. Now, he paid the price. We're not denying that at all. Thank God he paid the price. Thank God for the blood. Thank God we were old sinners, all right? There's none righteous, no, not one. I remember how they'd thunder that from the pulpit. But they'd be preaching at us as new creatures, trying to convince us that none of us were righteous. And that is the opposite of the gospel. None were righteous. Even the ones that, like the Roman 7 guy who wanted to keep the law, tried to keep the law, but nobody could do it because there really was none righteous. No, not one. Until Jesus came. But see, the goal was not just to come and forgive man and leave man with the same sin nature that he had before. God, He didn't sow a son to reap servants. He didn't sow a son to reap forgiven sinners. He sowed a son to reap a harvest of sons. And whether you're male or female, it makes no difference. You are a son of the living God, and you are heir to the inheritance. He has made you a joint heir with him. Isn't that something? And he's trying to get us to understand we are sons with an inheritance. We're cut from the same cloth. And see, that's the next verse. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, well, that's him, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. We're born of the same God. We had the same father. We've got the same nature. We are sons who choose to serve. We are not servants trying to become sons. He made us sons. And it's our choice to lay down our life and serve him. You got that? And he's trying to get us to understand who you are. You have dominion over everything. If we ever get this, depression will be a thing of the past. Sickness will be a thing of the past. Everything will be a thing of the past. You've been made heir of all. You're a son of the living God with dominion over devils, sickness, darkness, anything of this world. That's why I said, don't love it. Take dominion over it. See, I was going to teach. I'm already preaching. I don't know what's happening to me here lately. Isn't that a good one to underline? Boy, the gospel was not, again, I'm going to say it again, it's good for you. Teachers repeat, amen. He didn't come to sow a son in order to reap forgiven sinners. Now, he did forgive sinners, but that wasn't his goal. He also didn't come and sow a son with the idea of reaping servants. See, that's what the prodigal was, that's what his thinking. Well, I've messed up so bad. You know, I don't have anything to eat. Even the hired servants in my father's house, they're eating better than me. I'll just go back to my father's house and I won't try and be a son anymore. I said, just make me one of your hired servants. And would the father, would he go for that? He was not interested in no hired servant. He wanted sons. Glory to God. Hello, sons of the living God. Heir of all. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Have the name of Jesus that's above every name. Enlisted in the warfare against darkness and come to set the captives free. Glory to God. Now that's the real gospel. No wonder it's joy unspeakable and full of glory if you ever really get it. We can shake off the shackles of religion and believe what the book says. So he's come to bring, now he didn't just come to birth many sons either. He come to bring many sons to glory. He's bringing you to glory. On the very day that Sue and I was first ordained, and this was way back in when dinosaurs ruled the earth, back in 1986, you know, we had to dodge Tyrannus Rex on the way to church, you know. And they had this couple that didn't know us at all. They fasted and prayed for 2 weeks in order to try, you know, to hear God. And they didn't know us at all. And they prophesied. And the last line, really the last line, Sue remembered it and brought it to my remembrance when they gave me 6 months. When I thought, you know, the doctor thought I was going to die of cancer and I only had 6 months. Thank God Sue put me in remembrance, because the last sentence on my part that the guy said to me, he said, "It is a glorious end I have for you, my son." Wow. Well, it's a glorious end he has for all of his sons. And I knew dying of cancer at the age of 42 was not a glorious end. Amen. Isn't that true? I'm sorry. I'm not against, I mean, I think, you know, if you've got a loved one that died of cancer at 42 or younger, you know, hey, we're in a war to stop that. Those are all casualties of war. Right? We're in a warfare to stop that mess. Amen? So, but underline, don't forget that you are a son and he is bringing you to glory. The full manifestation of your sonship, whatever it is he's called you to do. Is that good stuff or what? All right, let's go back over to Luke 3 again now for a minute. Because here we see Jesus. Now, he's already born again, right? Okay, that's the wrong way to say it. When he was first born, he was born of Mary. He was already born with that life of God on the inside of him. So here we see him, and he is the pattern. Remember this morning we went to Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We can learn from all those Hebrews. A lot of heroes of the faith, you know. Don't take it out. All those heroes of the faith in, you know, chapter 11. Thank God for Moses and Noah and Daniel and all those guys. Thank God. And I thank God for all that they did. But it never says they're your pattern. You can learn from them, but there wasn't one of them born again. You've only got one to look at, and his name is Jesus. He is the pattern. He is the pattern. Now, so what I want you to do, since now you're born again, you got the same life in you now that Jesus had in him on that day. Isn't that right? The day he was baptized, and I want you to see yourself there. The day you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The day somebody laid hands on you, prayed for you, and the Holy Ghost came upon you. And I want you to know your Father in heaven said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." See, Ephesians 4, if we went to it right now, it says we are all in the process of being conformed to that new man which is created. And if you look that up, it means from the get-go, from the instant you were born again, it says that man was created in righteousness and true holiness. No wonder he's proud of you. Yeah, but I'm fighting against all kinds of struggles. That's not you. You're the one fighting. Now, the devil wants you to think you're something else. The devil wants you to think that you're not a righteous and a holy creature, but you are a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. When you go to the end of Galatians 5 and you start looking at the fruit of the Spirit, now I know it says capital S, but it's talking about the fruit of who you really are. Did you notice the first one there, not the last one? The first one there is love. That's who you are at your core. God is love. You're a chip off the old block. Is that okay? That makes sense to you? You're cut from the same cloth. Didn't we just look at that? He that sanctifies and them that are sanctified are one. You're cut from the same cloth. That no wonder he says, be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. And you're cut from me. Do you get it? Meaning you can be. Not me. Yeah, you can be. See, I know that false teaching, false doctrine, has an impact on you no matter whether you're born again or not. I know it does because I grew, and they were well-meaning. Every time I go this way, I'm not trying to really demean anybody. I grew up Southern Baptist. Thank God for them. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven because of them. And they'll get you born again. Thank God they will get you born again. But then your growth might be a little stunted because the next Sunday they're going to preach you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And see, I know that that doctrine, that was the form of doctrine that was delivered to this little young baby Christian. Your little young baby like a little bird, you know. And somebody's dropping worms in your mouth and you're a little baby. You don't know what's a good worm and a bad worm. You just, whatever they put in you, you take it, you know. And you grow up thinking, well, he forgave me, but I'm still a sinner at my core. Well, now don't ask me how I know this. Did that affect you, Gary? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that affected me. Because when I would do things, I thought, well, I don't really have a choice. Thank God for the, when I say do things, okay. When I sinned, okay? Okay, I said it. When I sinned, and I just remember the preacher's words. See, and it would reinforce, well, I'm just an old, thank God he forgave me, and he did. Thank God, and I'd go back to the blood. They thought, thank God they didn't throw away 1 John 1:9. Thank God for that. I mean, here, we've got some Baptist heritage in here. You know what I'm talking about, you know? And go back to the blood. You know, we Baptists, we'd get saved one weekend, rededicate the next. It's a wonder we had any cloth on the knees of our pants, you know. Because about every Sunday, you're going for something. You got to repent. But the end result, still, you could go there 25 years. You could go there 35 years. You could go there 50 years, and you're still just no sinner saved by grace. And that doctrine will affect your walk. Don't tell me it won't. Now, if you could ever get baptized in the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues enough, he could get you out of that.
Right.
Holy Ghost could. But the odds of you getting that in that denomination then, that's getting better now, but then was like, no way. So not only did they teach you false doctrine, and I'm not against them, bless God, you understand? I'm not against them. But not only did they teach you false doctrine, but they cut you off from the teacher.
Right.
The Holy Ghost. He's the one that teaches you the mysteries as you speak in other tongues, you know? So, thank God for them. But we're going to, bless God, we're raising the bar. We're trying to preach as high as Jesus preached. We're trying to put His gospel back where it belongs. And if you can't see me, I'm raising my hand up pretty high. Because that's where Jesus, that's the gospel He brought us. It's a gospel that produces sons. It's a gospel that produces righteousness. It's a gospel that produces holiness. And He is well pleased with you. I don't care what you're struggling with as long as you don't start saying, I can't. He doesn't believe in your I can'ts. Now, He'll try and talk you out of your I can'ts and get you saying what He says, which is always, what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Well, that's where He's bringing you too, and me. Amen? Now, yes, sir. So, God's mind to give you this new nature. Let's take, okay, here we are. Are you in Luke 3? Let's look at it again, because we see all three. Here's Jesus, but I want you to see you there. You got born again. This is the day you got filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? Bear with me for a moment. And God in heaven, trust me, is well pleased. Now we've been looking. Why did God want to birth you again? Did He just want to leave you a forgiven sinner? No. He is spawning a new species of human on planet Earth. He is spawning a new species. Jesus is the head of a new, I don't want to say race because people think color, a new species. That's really what it says over there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature does not mean a renovation. It is a new species. It is a new thing that did not exist before. Until Jesus, since the fall of man until Jesus was spawned in the womb of Mary, there had not been one of those creatures on planet Earth. Until, can I say creature? You understand what I mean? The man Jesus. There had not been another one. But he is the first. Now he wound up taking, and a lot of people, I lose a lot of people right here, but when it says he tasted death for every man, he's talking spiritual death. I know it is. He tasted spiritual death. He became just like in Pharaoh's court when they threw down that staff, and that's a cross, wood. They threw down the wood, and he became, that wood became a serpent. And it swallowed up the other serpents. That's exactly what he did. He swallowed up death into himself. Took what we deserved. Paid the price. But after the third day, God speaks to him again. Peter talks about that in the book of Acts. God says, "This day have I begotten thee." And that's not talking about the day he was conceived in the womb of Mary. It's talking about the day God raised him from the dead. And then the Bible said he was raised from the dead, but the Bible doesn't say the first raised of every creature. It says the first born from the dead. The first person birthed from death to life. If there is a first born, doesn't there have to be a second born and a third born? And your number's in there somewhere. My number's in there somewhere. We are sons of the living God. So his purpose for this was a new species of human that has righteousness and holiness at your core. A people that can walk free from sin. You understanding this? But now, what's the purpose of that? We're just supposed to walk around like shining lights and, I mean, they are supposed to be able to tell a difference. And I believe as we're going down this path, I believe more and more the world is going to notice a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. Now, they may think you're stupid. Peter talked about that. Said, well, they think you're strange because you don't go to parties like them. You don't get involved in their drugs and you don't get involved in their riots and you don't get involved in their drinking. They might think you're strange. Okay? But he didn't want us just walking around looking strange. Now he does want us walking as lights. You know, this is how a holy person lives. But see, he didn't just want us to be lights, like just showing off. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so am I sending you. Well, how did God send him? Well, not only did he have that life, he says, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Now, what did Jesus say? You shall receive power. Why did we understanding better why he gave you this new life? So you wouldn't be just a forgiven sinner. You'd be a new creature able to walk righteous and holy. Okay. But now, what about all these captives? You've got a whole world lying in the power of darkness. You've got sickness of all kinds. You've got mental disease of all kinds. You've got all of these people that are taken captive by everything in the world all around. Why did he want to anoint you with power? So that you wouldn't do anything about it? He said, the same way the Father sent me, I am sending you. How God anointed, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power, say it. Say, when I receive the Holy Ghost, I receive power. He intends for me to use it. Now get this straight. The Holy Ghost power is not to make you walk holy. That came with the new birth. Now the Holy Ghost will help you with your infirmities. All of us have, I like Alan's analogy is great. You know, all of us see the 10% in ourselves. That's maybe above the surface. Things that's obvious need to be changed. But even if you got rid of all them, what about the 80% that's below the surface? That you don't even know why you act like that? See, that's one of the reasons the Holy Ghost has been given to help you with your infirmities. Well, you don't even know how to pray as you ought. You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep doing that. But the Holy Ghost does. See? He'll help with that, but that's not his primary function. The primary function of the Holy Ghost is power. to manifest the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ when we soldiers go, if you'll allow me, we go forth in the name of Jesus to set the captives free. We receive the same life as the firstborn, and we receive the same Holy Ghost as the firstborn. And more I'm seeing why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now go to Matthew 28. And go ahead and get Mark 16. We'll pinch them together. I love this. Look at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all. Can you say all? See, I don't think the church knows what the word all means anymore. They think it means some. No, it means all. That word there is exousia. All authority. All authority. See, Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. What if I said it this way? Jesus is the agent of exousia. The Holy Spirit is the agent of dunamis. But see, the Holy Spirit will not apply the power where there is no authority. You got that? Now, the devil has hoodwinked the church to believe that you're not sons, that you're not righteous, that you're not holy, that you're still that same old sinner. And if you believe that, you're not going to have much faith that you have any authority. Isn't that true? Doesn't the devil always get you looking at your failings and your faults? Always thinking about, I'm telling you, he's got a scrapbook that he kept, because he had to keep it, because God threw the copy that God had, he said he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. But I know the devil's got one, because he'll sit on my bed waiting for me to wake up. And it seems like the first thing that happens, he starts showing me all my failures and all my mistakes and all my, you know, who do you think you are? You know, well, I think I'm a son of the living God. And I think you better be careful. I'm going to destroy some of your works today. In Jesus' name, you see. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You get this? Matthew 28. He says, all authority. See, that's... Do y'all know... Sorry. When Paul writes the name that is above every name. Remember? God has given him the name that is above every name. That's this verse. Where do you think he got that? He got it from Jesus. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Paul writes it this way. The name that is above every name. Every name. At the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. All authority. And then Jesus says, you go in my name. Now tell me, does all mean all? Then what is it that's standing before you that's not going to bow at the name of Jesus? You son of the living God, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, you. Whew. I have to preach myself happy. Glory to God. It's a far cry from I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I hope he likes me today. I hope I squeeze into heaven somehow. It's not the gospel. So and look, he says, all authority, everything's under my name, boys, girls, sons. Let me say it that way. Sons. You got to understand, there is nothing. All means all. There's nothing that has authority over me. You know what the preacher that said, when you find the word therefore, be sure you find out what it's there for. When he says, go ye therefore, He just got through saying, there is nothing on heaven or earth with more authority than me. Therefore, you go. You go. Now, what does that mean? What's he saying? When you go in his name, there is nothing. We've got to get this mindset. There is nothing that can stand before the name of Jesus. And I don't, if it has a name, cancer has a name. Polio has a name. Birth defects, everything that is has to bow. All means all. My fingers are getting tingly. I think you want to lay hands on something. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now I go to Mark 16. It's really the same time. It's the same discussion. Matthew brings out details that Mark doesn't. Mark brings out details that Matthew doesn't. But this is the same event. Start in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now here it is again. In my name. What did Matthew say? See, Matthew brought out the authority. That name, is it above just a few things? Oh, doesn't all mean all? When he says, you go in my name, isn't that all? That name is above everything, isn't it? In my name shall they cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. When it says take up serpents, he's not kidding. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He's not talking about handling snakes in Kentucky or Tennessee somewhere. No, stay scriptural. Do you understand what that's saying? You remember that poisonous snake that bit Paul? Now, that snake was poisonous, and the islanders knew all about it. And so when that snake bit Paul, they're all thinking, well, he must be a murderer. He survived the shipwreck, but God's not going to allow him to live. In other words, when that snake bites you, you die. Now, you see what's going on here? That Holy Ghost in you? Listen, the name of Jesus has authority over poison. Now, don't be going out testing that either. What he's saying is, when you're out on the field, when you're doing what I called you to do, and you don't have to be on the mission field. You can be witnessing to your next door neighbor. You can be witnessing to the person next to you. But I'm telling you, even if the devil arranges somehow to get bit by something poisonous or to swallow any deadly thing, he's saying the Holy Ghost will neutralize that poison. That's what he did with Paul. Paul just shook it off in the fire. A snake died, not him. Isn't that right? You've got to start thinking like this. Now, I've known this lady a long time now. I'm not going to say how long because she's so young. Christine, when I'm in this mode, Daisy, okay. Peru. This woman, this little slip of a woman has been up and down the Amazon. I mean, years ago, when she was giving her life to God, years and years ago, and she's got some credentials in medicine, and she would, you know, like take the medicine and flu, you know, different things, and they would let her come, and she'd preach the gospel, though. Now, when you're up and down the Amazon, y'all know there's a few poisonous things there. It's good to know that you've got God the Holy Ghost with you. That if you get bit by accident, or somebody on purpose shoots one of them frog darts, you know, the poison dart things, that the Holy Ghost will neutralize that poison and it shall not harm you. Isn't that what it says? It's a far cry from you're just an old sinner. You're forgiven but not changed. It's a far cry from that. You have dominion. You have the name of Jesus. All means all. And look at the rest of it. Verse 18 again, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh, now here we go. Now, why did God give you the Holy Ghost? Remember, we started over there looking at the baptism. All right, why did God give Jesus the Holy Ghost? Jesus lived for 30 years with the righteous nature of God on the inside, and that nature was able to keep him from sinning. Your nature is able to keep you from sinning. But notice, in those 30 years, he didn't heal nobody. He didn't raise the dead. And no matter what the Apocrypha says, he did not raise no bird from the dead at age 7. John says when he turned the water into wine, that was the beginning of miracles. Amen? Are we okay? All right. So why did God baptize him in the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you asked that. Go back to Luke 4. And he baptized you for the same reason, because Jesus said, the same way he sent me, I'm sending you. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 4:14. Oh, that's too much. Come on down to verse 18. That's where I'm going this time. Listen, he said, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, is that the Holy Ghost? Didn't we just see over there in that previous chapter the Holy Ghost descending upon him? Why did God, if without the Holy Ghost, Jesus couldn't set the captives free either? Well, Gary, you did not say that out loud. Yeah, I did too. He says plainly, John 5 and other places, he says, it is not me doing the works. It is the Father in me doing the works. And he announces it right from the beginning, right after he's baptized in the Holy Ghost, right after he overcomes the devil out in the wilderness, he plainly says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now that is talking about the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why is he on you, Jesus? Why did you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to... What if it just said, he hath sent me to heal? You get this? Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now get this. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. How about this? To set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's a little blind to us Gentile minds, but to the Jew, when they heard that, they knew he was talking about the Jubilee. And the thing about the Jubilee, when the Jubilee came, when it was the Jubilee year, you could be in debt to your eyeballs. You could have messed up. You could have lost the family farm. You could have wound up being a slave in service to somebody else. Your whole life could be a life of mistakes and failures and problems. But bless God, on the day of Jubilee, every man is returned to his original inheritance. All debts are canceled and we're starting over. And that's what happened with you when you got born again. Glory to God. Say, well, I've messed up. It's the year of Jubilee. God, it's the year. It's the acceptable. You're accepted with an inheritance. Fully anointed with the name of Jesus. Like you never, ever missed it at all, ever. Now, what can the devil say about you not having the power? Whew. See, I love 1 John 1:9. You know, John says, he plainly says, writing his epistle, I write this unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, or how many is glad that's in there? But if any man sin, you have an advocate. That means a lawyer. I got a lawyer. His name is Jesus. And I got some more good news. The judge is my daddy. Thank God. He's on your side. Thank God for the blood. And it not only forgives you, but it says he cleanses you from a little bit, some. Here we go again. All means all. You know what that means? From that moment, from the moment you come out of prayer, from, oh, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me by the blood. I confess it as sin. Forgive me, Father. Help me. Wash me by the... As soon as you come out of that season in prayer, he has cleansed you from all in righteousness. That's why one of the confessions, it's just like you never have failed God. You have never sinned. You have never missed it. Now, when the devil says, you can't, You say, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, and by the way, he didn't leave me powerless. Have you met the Holy Ghost that lives in my belly? I like how my friend Pat Rowe, the Lord was talking to him. I love how the Lord talks to Pat because it makes my brain go tilt. And I have to think about it for a week before I finally get it. You know, we all know that God's presence lived in the Ark of the Covenant. But the way God said it to Pat, he says, I used to live in a box. What? You know, my brain starts leaking out my left ear right there. What? What did you say? But then you think, oh yeah, his presence was in that box. Now you remember what Israel would do when they go to war? Man, they bring that Ark of the Covenant. And the enemy knew they were defeated right then, right? I mean, there was no stopping the power when that presence of God came in the box. But what God told my friend, he says, I used to live in a box, but I like it a lot better living in you. You are the Ark of the Covenant. Where you go, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. God, it's one more time. We're almost done. Why the gospel? Not just to forgive sinners and leave them the way they are. God wanted to birth sons that he could mature into glory, that could walk free from sin and walk righteous and holy in this earth. But that's not good enough, because that would just leave us walking free amongst all of these people that are still bound. He says, okay, I'm going to baptize you. You're going to receive that same power, because I want to baptize you with the same Holy Ghost that I baptized Jesus with. And Jesus says, the same way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. No wonder that go back to Mark 16. Mark 16, I should have had you. I think I told you to keep it, and then I didn't. So it finishes up in 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now here it is. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not maybe so, not some of the time. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Now notice, and they sat there and did nothing. You got to become his witness. That doesn't mean everybody's called to go to a foreign land, but we're witnesses. This happens when you witness. When you share the gospel, you're talking with your friends and neighbors and everybody. But so you can go forth at your job. You can go forth in your neighborhood. Isn't that right? And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, look, the Lord working with, scratch out that them, that's not in the original, just scratch through it. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. And that word following, if you look it up, means accompanying. It doesn't mean 2 weeks later. It doesn't mean a month later. It says with signs accompanying. I believe we're going to see more and more instant manifestations. We pray for somebody with a missing member, like that man that came in the other day with half a leg. I believe Darren's going to have the privilege of videoing that as we all watch it grow out. Then that video is going to go around the world, and Buddy Revival's on right there. I mean, what do you think is going to be different next Sunday? Wheelchairs are coming. If you're a parent and you had a child missing something, what would you do? Right. Amen. And the thing of it is, eventually they won't really have to come to this building, because this is the believer's anointing. This is not just for the one man show. He said, "Those that believe." Hello. Hello. He's bringing many sons to glory. He's anointed you with the same Holy Ghost. So he didn't just want us forgiven and not changed. He wanted to change us. Give us his nature. Give us that holiness and righteousness that truly we can walk free from sin ourselves, where the world can see what holiness and righteousness looks like in a human. But even beyond there, he didn't want to leave us powerless. just walking, ourselves walking free amongst all these people that are still bound. He says, I want you to give them a sign. I'm going to anoint you with the same Holy Ghost. And a sign to them will be when you lay your hands on their sick bodies, I will heal them. I whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Let's get on about our Father's business. Amen? Amen?